Today on City Cast Chicago. Anybody else apartment hunting right now? Well, for me, it's the only thing I've been able to think about for about the last 2 months. And all I've learned is that across the city's neighborhoods and apartment sizes, the median price to rent in Chicago is around $2,000. And those prices are up over last year and only going up. We talk with somebody who can give us some tips for entering Chicago's competitive rental market. It's Monday, March 11th. I'm Jacoby Cochran, and this is What Chicago's Talking About. My current lease ends at the end of the month, and so I figured I should get some of my questions, but I imagine some people listening may be in a similar position now or in a few months. So we brought in real estate broker Andy Savalson. Andy, welcome to CityCast Chicago.
Thank you so much, Jacoby. Glad to be here. Happy to help some people find that place to live.
I mean, right now I am on no less than a half dozen websites. I am going through different neighborhoods close by where I live. I currently live in Hyde Park. And right now it's feeling very expensive out here. So, Andy, can you give us the lay of the land? How would you describe the current rental market in Chicago?
What you're experiencing right now, Jacoby, is what I would say 90% of people are experiencing right now. In general, real estate in Chicago, we have seen an insane market right now. I would say it's something along the lines of something you'd see in New York City or even Los Angeles, where people are actually bidding on new apartments. There's bidding wars. There's higher, more stringent requirements for renting a place. What you're seeing right now compared to other years previous to this one, it's a lot more competitive.
Right now, Chicago is experiencing an insane rental market right now. Can we put a little more context on that?
Yeah, that's a great question. It has a lot to do with public image and the reality. It turns out it's not as bad as the media pretends to portray. And so when people look at cost of living from major cities to ours, you start to realize that Chicago is truly a gem here, right? And that's triggering a huge influx of people moving to the city for opportunity, for experience, just to get that city life they've been craving. So you combine all that stuff with the housing market shortage that we already have, and what's causing that is just a massive amount of demand, short supply.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and because of that short supply, we are seeing the prices sort of rise and rise. Do you have a sense of like, what are the average rental prices in Chicago?
It varies, you know, of course. I would say that if this could answer your question, a good deal in Chicago is $2 a square foot. Okay, so if you're getting 800 square foot apartments, $1,600 a month, that's a great deal. So I usually tell that to people when they're browsing on Zillow or on a website, if they don't know if it's the right price for things, right? $2 a square foot, that's a golden number.
But I'm thinking in some apartments in like Woodlawn, for example, like we got some really big, I imagine across Avondale, Woodlawn, you know, even parts of Lakeview, some of our apartment sizes you can get a nice 1500 square foot, separate living room, separate dining room. But at times you didn't expect to pay more than maybe 1500 or something for that 16, 17. Now, if you're saying two per square foot, $3,000 is a good deal.
Well, I would say that's a personal choice. Mm-hmm. Where I just moved out of, last year I moved out of Lakeview. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a bad place. I was paying $1,300 a month. I went back this summer to rent out a unit on the top floor of the same building. It was going for $5,000 a month, right? So that's like a $4,000, $3,000 and change increase.
How do we square that increase? Because this isn't just, you know, inflation this. And so it feels like, well, other people going to raise their price, I'm going to raise my price. And it's this cyclical nature where they just keep going up. We're seeing apartments that 5-6 years ago cost thousands of dollars less.
Yeah.
Like this feels unsustainable. Not feels, this is unsustainable.
100% agreed. 100% agreed. We're on the same page here. Like, I don't know how some people can afford their units. Though, to be fair, again, I'm on the same page as you. That's been happening in places like New York City.
For sure.
For decades, right? Mm-hmm. And the way that there is no answer. They just pay more for it, you know? And what's insane is that, unfortunately, it's only going to go up. Damn. And I'll tell you why. Aside from the hot rental market, right, there's another factor here, and that's property taxes and the way taxes are distributed in Chicago. Right now, I'm sure you've heard, there's a lot of empty commercial buildings. Mm-hmm. So what happens is that these commercial buildings aren't producing the income from taxes that the city expects. So what happens is that the residential owners, they have to pay property taxes based off of that, right? So they're mm-hmm. going to have their property taxes increase, which will then lead to higher rent increases. Unfortunately, again, looking outside the hot rental market, that alone is going to increase rental prices.
Man, well, obviously, we don't want to end on that one. It's a tough pill to swallow. Just be like, hey, it is what it is. Let's get back into some of the things people to be considering, because I'm thinking about myself. When I first moved back to Chicago, I was born and raised here, as people know, lived on the south side my whole life, from Ashburn to Calumet Heights, Woodlawn to the Gardens. So when I was moving back from college after a few years, my first thought wasn't even about my budget. I didn't care about that, right? I was thinking about, you know, me and my brother were moving in. Where is it going to be advantageous for the shows that he's playing as a musician? Where am I going to be maybe closer to some of my friends? And at the time, that was Wicker Park. And now, almost 10 years after moving back, I've been in South Shore, Hyde Park, considering maybe Woodlawn right now. When folks start to look into two different neighborhoods, what are the trends right now? What neighborhoods are we seeing have more availability, maybe a little more affordability for folks?
I would say it depends on where you're at in your life, right? Like you mentioned, Wicker Park, right? That place still is a poppin' area, but, you know, I'm 35, I've got a kid. I'm not sure if I'm going to live in Wicker Park right now, right? So there are different places based on where you're at in your life. I'd say if you're looking for something that's great for students, right, that's cost-effective, I really, really like Avalon Park, right? It's close to the train. It's nearby the Wicker Park, near the highway if you need to get to it. So it has that added increase of, you know, easy to find public transportation, but it's not so expensive. If you're looking for like sort of more families, I really love on the west side, we have Belmont Cragen, Portage Park, Jefferson Park, even Forest Glen if you want to go out way out there. Again, they're all connected by train or bus in one way or the other. That's really just the beauty of Chicago, is that you can live anywhere you want, especially within that public transportation sort of sphere, and you can find your place.
Mm-hmm. What about folks, you know, maybe in their late 20s, 30s who don't have any kids? Where are you seeing like the trends? Where are people largely moving? And again, we're mostly focusing on like age demographic. If we start getting into kind of race and gender, those things might change it for sure.
Sure. One of my favorite places right now is going to be the sort of South Loop, Hyde Park, Douglas sort of neighborhood, Bronzeville including. That area is just completely blowing up. Hyde Park is absolutely beautiful. They've got the Obama Center being built there. It is one of those spots where you can find a home for a great price, be close to a lot of the action, close to the public transportation, and just pretty much have everything at your fingertips. Aside from that, I'd even recommend Pilsen is another option as well. I'm sure you've heard that's blowing up right now. There's so much to unpack here, especially for people who are relocating to Chicago. You know, they hear about Lakeview, they hear about Lincoln Park, they think they want to live there, but in reality, like yourself, Hyde Park's a great place to be, but not enough people know about it, right? So when it comes to finding that place where to live, you got to ask yourself a couple questions, right? Where are you going to be spending most of your time? What's your budget looking like? And if you need to, can you take public transportation? Where to find a place, how to find it, really depends on your circumstances.
I have been going through listings after listings after listings. My goals right now, you talk about what I need, right? You know, I am considering, I like being close to the lake. I don't really want to rock my routine too much. I want to be close to my mother who lives in Calumet Heights, right? And so I've started to see apartments kind of in that Kenwood, Hyde Park, Woodlawn neighborhood. When you were preparing to go actually tour an apartment, what should be some things you're thinking before you go, but also when you get there?
Let's assume for a second that the unit, the apartment that you're looking at is a hot place, right? That there's going to be other people involved, and that this is going to be a competitive sort of situation, right? So your job as a tenant, you want to convey that you're going to be an easy tenant, that you're going to be on time, that you're reliable. So the best thing that you can do for yourself is to have your application already printed out, written out, have your references, pay stubs ready to go if asked about, and be prepared. Be prepared to pay that deposit, or be prepared to pay the application fee sooner than you may think, right? Typically, I'll tell people, you know, with the application that you want to be in, if it's a 9 out of 10 place, pay the application right then and there. That'll get you in the door. Usually, what people like to practice on the listing side, or as a landlord, we run applications one at a time, right? So being the first in line is what can separate you from losing the apartment or getting the apartment.
And I mean, but again, there's so many different places to go, so many different sites to use. How accurate is someone's archive? Like if you were, like for me, for example, when I went to my first showing, I wasn't really prepared for all those things. At this point, I was just trying to get a sense of what, does the apartment match the photos? But you're saying once you get to that touring stage, you should just have these things in your back pocket, sort of ready to go in some respects.
You know, I would say, I see where you're going with this. Like, I would say that it takes time to get to that point, right? To know exactly what you're looking for. And that's a tough question sometimes to answer. Maybe you like the idea of a rooftop, but you realize in the winter, it's just going to be a waste of space or an additional cost, right? About finding a apartment. Now, there are several different things you can do. One I recommend, and I'm biased, of course, is to get a broker, right? And this is why. So a broker is going to have all the official listings, right? Everything that's on the MLS, the multiple listing service. Those are all the legit ones. You don't have to worry about scams. These are ones that almost always, I can't say always, but they will say almost always, the broker's commission is paid by the landlord. Now, on the flip side, Zillow. Now, Zillow has a lot of for rent by owners, some private property management groups, things like that. One thing, though, that's super important right now, Zillow doesn't auto-populate from the MLS. So if I throw something on the MLS today, it's not going to go on Zillow unless I physically click the buttons, pay for the additional subscription to put it on Zillow. So if you're someone who only shops on Zillow, you're not going to see my listing on MLS. The reality is that the rental market is so hot right now. Landlords don't want the fuss, right? They just want to throw it on MLS. They're sure it's going to get rented in a couple days, maybe even a week. Why spend the extra money to throw it on Zillow? Well, the only people that suffer are the people who only shop on Zillow.
Ah, that's a very good point. I definitely have been looking around trying to diversify where I go. Now, once a person is ready to go to tour a place, right, they've sort of got an accurate sense of their needs, an accurate sense of neighborhood, what's available, and you're going to see a place, right? I have like a checklist of things I want to be thinking about, but oftentimes what happens, Andy, is I go in an apartment and I immediately start looking for the things that were wrong in my current apartment. But how should a person be, one, creating a checklist to tour an apartment because, you know, this might be a sort of painted over, you don't really see the problems when you go in type of situation, but also once they get in, you know, maybe not feeling that pressure from the person they're with to really get, like, really investigate. So how should someone set up their checklist and execute when going for an apartment tour?
The things you have to look out for are things that are going to affect you most financially. Like, a lot of these fix and flips, this is probably where we're going to have the big problems, or maybe even like the older units, you're going to have trouble with the windows, right? So check to make sure that those windows close nicely and that they're relatively new, because you'll find out in the wintertime, if you move in the summer, you'll find in the wintertime that window is not more than a piece of plastic that the cold is going to shoot through. So check the windows. I would try to check the age of the appliances. I would check to see if there's any water damage. Now, to spot water damage on a wall, you'll typically find on the bottom, there'll be like a bit of dips, sort of gouges into the wall that look, have like a shiny paint over it, or even like a flat paint even. Mm-hmm. If you do see that, push your hand against that. If it's at all flexible, you know that there's going to actually be moisture in there with mold. Look for, you know, feces of rats, any type of roach infestations. Those things are important. And one thing that I think that we should just at least touch up on is that So with the RLTO, right, that's essentially your rights as a tenant. There's an exemption to it. One question to ask, Jacoby, is ask the listing agent, or if you have access, the landlord, if they're going to be living in the same building as you. Mm-hmm. If they are, and it's 4 units or less, then about 90% of your rights as a tenant are out the window, right? They can discriminate on just about anything. They don't need to have such stringent bed bug requirements, roach requirements, infestation requirements. It can be really problematic for people, right? If it's 4 units or less. So yes, it's important to look at the condition of the units, the quality of the appliances. But I would say the precursor question is, ask to see if the landlord's going to be staying in that building with you.
Okay. That's a very good question. That's not one. It's one that has come up in our conversations about renter's rights before, but not one that people are often thinking about when they're going to ask those questions. How would you kind of encourage people to, for example, if I like the layout of an apartment, like I really like the space, but say the appliances are maybe a little old, but you just said the rental market is hot right now. I kind of feel like if I say something like, hey, well, can you update these appliances? They go, sure. But then they go pick the person who doesn't sort of push back on that. So is that a situation where I should either speak up and see what's possible, see if they can work with me, or just cross it off the list and go to a different one? Because, if I speak up, now they're just going to go with the person who gave less fuss.
Definitely a personal decision, right? I wouldn't negotiate the first year. You always want to negotiate the second year. After you show that you're a great tenant, that you pay on time, that you're an asset to the landlord, then you can negotiate for more things, more appliances, things like that. But upfront, if that's a deal breaker for you, then definitely walk away, right? Don't settle. One thing though, just to touch upon it real quick, is when you look at your lease, it will give you a detailed list of what's included in the lease. So say you move into a place and you see a refrigerator there, or like maybe a mini fridge. And if it's not checked on the lease and it breaks, he or she is not under any obligation to replace it for you. Mm-hmm.
What are the big red flags you tell people to be looking out for, whether it's in the apartment physically, or if it's, maybe a vibe they get from the landlord or the language in the lease?
I think that the biggest red flag for me is a crazy amount of like application fees, right? Anyone can run an application. They range from $25 to maybe $85 max. But if you look online, sometimes application fees are like $200. Mm. That is a pretty dirty practice. It's price gouging. They're making a cut off of that, right? Because they're quote unquote spending their time doing it for you. One red flag though, you could ask them, how do you process your applications, right? If they say, oh, we're going to process 5 at a time, that's a red flag, right? If they say we're going to process 1 at a time and you're the first one in line, that's worth a shot. I'd also ask, to the landlord or the listing agent, ask them what's important to the landlord. Asking those questions qualifies a landlord, because he's not only, you'll find out if he's driven by money or if he's trying to find someone who is a potentially long-term tenant, right? And you don't really want someone only driven for money, because it becomes an issue with nickel and diming you and all sorts of different things.
What would you say are the biggest challenges that people run into in your professional experience? Because me, I guess I'm trying to balance my expectations and my timeline, right? What would you say are some of the biggest challenges folks run into trying to rent in the city?
I would say it's waiting too long to start the process. I think if you look online or ask other people, most people tell you to wait 60 days before you start. That's like terrible advice right now. Mm-hmm. Because you can actually look right now, say it's March, right? And you were moving in November of this year. You can actually look for apartments looking for November tenants right now, right? If you wait 60 days before your move-in date, that's when everyone's doing it. Mm-hmm. So that would be the biggest challenge, is waiting too long. The longer you have to sort of explore your options, explore what's out there, and even pull the trigger early, if it makes sense, it's about giving yourself an advantage, not a disadvantage.
Well, Andy, I really appreciate you making time today. Some of the tips and things you gave me today are going to be really helpful. And some other things I'm going to have to just have to sit with, knowing that these pockets finna get ran by whoever my next property owner is. But thank you for making time for CityCast Chicago today.
My pleasure, Jacoby. It was a pleasure being here. And best of luck to y'all. Take care.
Of course, like every other day, we like to end these episodes with some good news. After a hard-fought and successful West Coast road trip, the Bulls are back home tonight at the UC to take on the Dallas Mavericks. The game starts at 7 p.m. I can't even front. I might need to pull up for this one. As always, we appreciate you for listening and reading. I'm going to talk to y'all bright and early tomorrow. Peace.